You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dr. Yes, I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show, and you can hear us live every Sunday evening at this time from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. And if you live in the middle of the country, we'll let you figure that one out for yourself. Our thanks to Mike Adams from naturalnews.com for joining us, and also goodgopher.com. And as I said, Google's declared war on the Common Sense Show, as they have so many people in the independent media, so I'm certainly going to return the favor. And so goodgopher.com, do not use Google. Don't make me come to your house. I'll say it again. Don't make me come to your house. No Google. Our health segment is upon us, and Katie Whalen, our health reporter, is going to be talking to us about the most vile organization, along with Goldman Sachs, on the face of the earth. And I'm talking about corporations. And Katie, I'm just going to let people wonder just for a second. Three, mm-hmm. two, one, who's he talking about? Monsanto. Or as we like to say here on this show, Monsatan.
Monsatan.
So, Monsatan, that's right. And I don't think there's a more evil organization. Well, Goldman Sachs, the planners of the Gulf oil explosion. Child sex trafficking. Okay, anyway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But Monsanto, yeah, is right up there. And we love to expose them. So here comes the light of day. Katie?
Yes. Well, I have dubbed this Monsanto Sunday, because I'm reporting on all Monsanto, because it's really hitting the news. A lot of vaccine news this week, but I decided to go for Monsanto. So there's good news, really good news, actually. The first thing is, we all know what Monsanto is. It's the corporation that's responsible for our genetically modified organisms, our seeds, which is causing a lot of illness. Just throughout the, I don't know, since the 70s, IBS and autoimmune disease, that could be a whole show. It also produces pesticides, neurotoxins, which are what the majority of our foods are sprayed with, our wheats are dried with it. It's very, very dangerous stuff. But I have a great story to start the day out with. I don't even know if I want to say the title, because it'll give it away.
Okay, let's just go to it.
Yeah, we're going to go right to it. So in today's social media-dominated world, one well-placed infographic can practically start a revolution. In the case of one particular website, a social media-savvy organization and community of mothers named Mamavation, which is what a great name, that change was achieved quicker than anyone could have predicted. And it all came about thanks to the help of an awareness campaign over a shocking conflict of interest involving Monsanto, Coca-Cola, and one of the country's most important organizations for protecting the health of children, the American Academy of Pediatrics. Well, guess what these mamas did from Mamavation? They booted Monsanto from the American Academy of Pediatrics. They were using them as a sponsor. So they shared the information with infographics detailing the relationship and continued to share as time went on. More and more Facebook pages picked it up and began sharing as well. I'm surprised Facebook let this fly. The group seized momentum and was able to set up numerous meetings with the Academy, according to its Facebook page. From there, they began explaining the true history of Monsanto Company to the organization's public affairs team, with whom they had the meeting. So these mamas explained to them to the Pediatrics Association, who Monsanto represented, what they represented, and why they are an inappropriate sponsor for pediatricians. And after they met about it, they agreed. So Mamavation could not hide their enthusiasm for the change on social media. So we are proud to announce that Monsanto, this is a quote, we are proud to announce that Monsanto, the makers of PCBs, DDT, and GMOs, has been kicked to the curb, their Facebook page said. Needless to say, Monsanto and its history of causing serious health problems and environmental destruction should have nothing to do with such an organization, which may have realized that being associated with them could lead to a PR nightmare down the line. Isn't this great news, Dave? I mean, these mamas got together on a Facebook page. They had, I think it was several hundred thousand hits. And finally, the information got back to the American Pediatrics Association, and they said, whoa, no way. So, there you go. There's power in numbers. Facebook was actually a great tool for this, and there was a wonderful outcome on this. So it says, Monsanto and other similar companies like Dow and DuPont have long thrived on deception, but now they're being exposed day by day, week by week, and year by year, with so many people fired up about real organic food and the GMO-free movement. The only question left to decide what the next order of business should be. At any rate, as Mamavation and its readers proved recently, the truth will come to light, and when it does, Monsanto and company are not going to be prepared for what hits it. Now, that story was from The Natural Blaze by Nick Meyer. Great, great news. So anybody out there listening, you do have the power to make these changes if you're paying attention and you're watching and reading up on things. You can make a difference. This is big. So I have another...
I think it is big, and it not just illustrates jokingly the power of the mama, but mm-hmm. when it really demonstrates... is the power of people when they act collectively. You see, I said this at the top. With the light of day, here comes Katie. And Katie, how many times have we seen this, that on this show, when just like with Monica Wesolowski and her child stolen by the Virginia CPS and was politically motivated, you know, the rat scurried for cover. And now young Dylan's home with his mom. Yes. So, you know, almost never fails that when we call attention to something and bring the listening audience or my website readers into an issue, that things change. And Katie, you have that power as well through this show, and I'm encouraging everybody, you don't have to have a talk show or a website to make these kind of changes. Now, there's strength in numbers, there's no denying that, but people need to be picking out causes. Mm-hmm. Because this is something I was talking to my friend Ernie Hancock from Freedom's Phoenix about yesterday, Katie. He said to a group that we were speaking to, he said, we're not fighting an event or an organization. We're fighting a philosophy. Right. So it's kind of like you could throw a hand grenade into the crowd, metaphorically speaking, of course, and not miss. Go after any issue, because the more we stand up to anything that they do, the more that they'll recoil. And people need to get busy.
Yes, they do. And it's information, it's reading, it's studying up, it's knowing these things. And alternative media has been a wonderful source, whether it's on the internet, on radio. It's been a great source because we've been repeating this information over and over, year after year. And finally, it's catching on. It's coffee table talk, it's kitchen table talk. Everywhere you go, people are becoming aware of this. And people are questioning, why is everyone so sick? Well, that question is actually creating an opportunity for people to come forward and educate others on some of those reasons. We talked about it the last few minutes of the last show, vaccines. I think next week I'm going to really hit a lot of the vaccine news that came out this week, because there was just a plethora of vaccine news. So when there's an opportunity with people asking these kinds of questions, boom, you go right in. You send them links. You talk to them. But I'll tell you, there is an awakening. There is an awareness. 10, 20 years ago, you said GMO or Monsanto, people didn't know what you're talking about. Everybody knows what it is. Everybody in my circle and outside of my circle, if they don't know the details, they're at least familiar with there's some nefarious stuff going on, and that's good enough for me as a start. But I have another Monsatan article. Actually, I have a couple of them. American workers file lawsuit against Monsanto claiming Roundup caused cancer. This is another natural blaze story. So controversy tends to engulf Monsanto, you don't say. The notorious agrochemical giant, one of the most vociferous debates concerns the safety of Monsanto products, including genetically modified seeds and Roundup herbicides. As results, doubting the safety of Monsanto products continues to mount. Multiple lawsuits are cropping up both in the U.S. and around the world. This is good news. Again, it is bringing to light things that need to be brought to light. Monsanto does much of its own research, shocking, regarding the safety of its products, and it continuously denies evidence in other studies that find their products to be unsafe. So there's a Norwegian organization called Genox Center for Biosafety recently challenged the recent Monsanto submitted to Brazil regarding its Roundup Ready GM soybeans, that's genetically modified soybeans, claiming the data was manipulated to favor a specific outcome. Well, recently, the World Health Organization classified glyphosate, the main ingredient in Roundup, as, get this, Dave, probably carcinogenic to humans. And Monsanto even denied that. They want this pristine pure. Well, they're not going to have it. One of the lawsuits was filed in Los Angeles September 22nd by a 58-year-old Enrique Rubio, a former farm worker in California. He was dutied with spraying the fields, and he was diagnosed with bone cancer. Another lawsuit in New York, there was a Judy Fitzgerald, and she was exposed to Roundup, worked in for a horticulture company. She's diagnosed with leukemia. I mean, the list is goes on and on. There's a 50-year-old Paul Francois, won a lawsuit against Monsanto in 2012 for poisonous exposure to one of their chemical herbicides. He had neurological damage from inhaling Monsanto's Lasso weed killer in 2004. I mean, these are things you find out.
Why would you inhale that?
Well, if you're spraying it and you're not wearing a mask, or if the wind caught it. Honestly, Dave, before I knew what this stuff was, I used to go out in the yard without gloves with a little plastic bottle and spray the weeds and get it on my hands. Okay, 20 years ago. I didn't know. So if you're not aware of it until you come down with something. But if the claims are true, the fact that an organization such as the EPA, tasked with protecting both environmental and human health, could totally change its standpoint to the opposite of its original position is nothing short of disturbing. Why I'm reading that is because the lawsuit claims the EPA changed its initial statement that glyphosate is possibly carcinogenic to humans to evidence of non-carcinogenicity in humans. So they just, because they were pressured by Monsanto. So they did. They sanitized it. Evidence of no carcinogens to humans because pressured by Monsanto. So anyway, that's why he won the case. The definitive truth about the safety of these products can't come any sooner. I mean, many more lives are potentially at risk due to products like Roundup, and because Monsanto's attempts to suppress scientific research. Now here's some more good news, a new story. At least 15 EU countries move towards national GMO crop bans. Brussels is the latest blow to the European Commission's laissez-faire approach to genetically modified crops. At least 15 EU countries and 4 regions and 2 other countries are in the process of banning the cultivation of GM crops in their territories. On October 1st, 10 EU countries, Austria, Croatia, Cyprus, France, Greece, Hungary, Latvia, Lithuania, Netherlands, and Poland, and 4 regional administrations, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland and UK, and Bologna and Belgium, had already formally notified the Commission of their intention to ban GMO crop cultivation under the new EU rules. We may have to move to Europe or start getting our food from Europe. Statements by governments to the media also informed of impending notification by 5 additional countries, Bulgaria, Denmark, Germany, Italy, and Slovenia. This brings the total number of countries who have already declared their intention to put in place GM crop bans to 15. This is terrific news. More countries are expected to follow suit as the deadline approaches. Now we have the Russian government to outlaw all GMO food products to protect citizens' health. You know, when I was growing up and I was in school, we used to study and read about Russia and how horrible it was and communism and the people were oppressed. I don't want to go too off the cliff here, but things really are backwards, aren't they?
Okay, that's stating the obvious.
Yeah. So the Russian government to allow all GMO foods. This is Natural News, Mike's site. As the American people are being force-fed GMOs and petitioning their government for honest food labels, other countries around the world are already removing the transgenic ingredients from their food supply. As Americans beg to know what kind of agrochemicals and GMOs are in their food, the Russian government is taking historic measures to eliminate the production of genetically modified food altogether. Hear, hear, Russia. That's great. You can get the... I'm going to post these stories. You can read the whole stories on my blog, which is theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com. I'll have that up later tonight or tomorrow morning. And then I have one last thing here.
Okay, now before you leave that story about Putin and Monsanto and GMOs, you know, it's easy to become enamored with Putin because it looks like he's trying to maintain the social morality, protect religion, protect the health of his people, stand up for against American imperialism in places like Syria, where I think actually Russia's the aggressor now. But it's easy to become enamored with those things and go, gee, why can't he be our president? We can send him Obama, who just do a straight across trade of first round draft choices. But what do you think Putin would be like, this ex-KGB colonel / former Russian mafia that the KGB de-evolved into after the collapse of the Soviet Union? What do you think he'd do to people like you and me and Mike Adams?
Oh, he wouldn't like us at all. And the answer is not Putin, and the answer is not Russia. I mean, I have my ideas on why he's doing this. I think he wants a healthy people. He wants a healthy country. He wants a strong country. He's up against quite a bit. He's got the elite after him, the global elite after him. But I think he's doing it because he wants solidarity. He wants strength. And we have just the opposite going on here. We have an administration, a government, our overlords that want us weakened. They want us sickly. They want sitting in front of our televisions and eating genetically modified foods and not really thinking for ourselves. Mike went into it, learning government dependency. That is the contrast I see. I don't think Putin's the answer. I'm just seeing a complete difference in the motivations of a strong country versus the motivations of actually creating a weaker country. Does that make sense?
Yeah, fair enough. I agree with that entirely, because it's not a case of Putin panacea. Mm-mm. Because, folks, we would be doing a lot less protesting and advocating in this country if he were our leader.
Putin's still Putin. He just wants a strong people and a strong country. He's a nationalist.
Safe to say he would not be Putin up with us.
Oh, my goodness. All right. We wouldn't be Putin up with him either. So Organic Consumers Association, here's something you can do about it. And this link is on my site. Now, this is called, I read it and I was a little, it's kind of like, sounds kind of new agey and a little progressive, but it's the Campaign for Health, Justice, Sustainability, Peace, and Democracy. However, they are going after Monsanto, and hear, cheers and applause for that. Ever since the House passed H.R. 1599, the DARK Act, which is Deny Americans the Right to Know, the act on July 23rd, we've been waiting for the other shoe to drop. Well, that's the Senate. You won't have to wait much longer. Word is out that Grocery Manufacturers Association, GMA, which helped Monsanto write the DARK Act, remember that, folks, the Grocery Manufacturers Association helped Monsanto write the DARK Act, which has scheduled a lobbying day for October 7th. So there's information on here, on this site, the Organic Consumers Association, which you can get from my blog, on different things you can do. They're asking to, and we don't have a lot of time, because this is going to go to the Senate for a vote. And let's see, as the July 1st, 2016 deadline to comply with Vermont's mandatory GMO labeling law draws dangerously close, Monsanto grows increasingly desperate. We expect a fierce battle in the Senate. They are, this organization is saying they're going to come out, Monsanto's going to come out swinging. So talk to your congressman. They have scheduled, organized pickets in front of congressmen's offices to make them aware, senators' offices. So they want people out there, just like these, the Momovation. Get out there and let them know, hey, we know what's in this DARK Act. Don't pass it in the dark of night, because we know what's in it. So my recommendation is go to my blog. You can get all this information and do something about all of this nonsense.
Sounds good, Katie. Okay, we are out of time, but we're going to post all this this week up on thecommonsenseshow.com and also on Katie's blog. And Katie, we're out of time. I want you to hold over there, because I want you to give that information out as soon as we come back. Anyway, stay tuned. We'll also be joined by Jim White after the break. We'll be right back. I want to talk to you about my friends from Food for Liberty. And when Mike Adams was on in the first segment, you heard Mike talk about the need to be prepared, because the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. I mean, you know what? You're saying, well, I can't afford it. I don't think you can afford not to. And you don't need to buy 2 years of food, although that should be your ultimate goal, because that is the standard in the industry, what people are saying, that people need to be prepped for about 2 years of food for each person. But if you can only do 3 months, you're ahead of the game. The FEMA studies have said that 75% of America, 75% have enough resources to survive 72 hours. Don't be one of those people. So we encourage you to visit our friends at foodforliberty.com/news. That's foodforliberty.com/news. Also, as you know, my partner, Jim White, the Red List News, who will be our up-and-coming guest, Jim White and I are doing a 5-day-a-week newscast, and we try to keep it anywhere between about 10 to 15 minutes at the very most. Usually we're out in about 12, where we try to highlight the top 6 stories of the day or the day before that we think people need to know. And a lot of people don't have time to sit there and sift through a 2,000-word article or a series of them. So we're trying to give you, the busy person, a way to download MP3 format, carry it with you, and listen to the news as you go. Quick and convenient, which is the reason that we're doing this. Our website is redlistnews.com, and our website is the same, redlistnews.com. Anyway, you know, real quickly here, I'm going to mention this to you. Mike Adams had mentioned about YouTube sites being demonetized. Well, Jim will be talking about that, because that's happened to us on the Red List News. It's not just the Common Sense Show that's under attack in the alternative media. We all are under attack. And again, I want to reemphasize the importance about you having transitional currency, and that's gold and silver. It's the only currency that really holds its value over a long period of time. So please call my friend Steve Quayle tomorrow at 406-586-4842. And he'll work with you. If he doesn't think this is for you, because it doesn't sound like you've got enough to invest, or you're not really ready to do this, he'll tell you. He's probably one of the most straightforward, not probably, he is the most straightforward person that I know. Again, Steve Quayle, 406-586-4842. And very quickly, too, also please visit my friends routinely at beforeitsnews.com. Citizen journalism at its best. It'll soon be the home of Red List News. Anyway, we are through our commercial segment. I held Katie over briefly because, Katie, we got cut off by the break, and I wanted you to give have an opportunity to give out your contact information.
Oh, yes, thank you. Anyone listening to the show knows that I am an independent contractor with an essential oil company and also a long-term food storage company, and my whole focus is on self-reliance. So if natural medicine and getting your family healthy a natural way, or stocking up on food, please call me. And you can reach me at 720-630-3111. Or you can go to my website, which is familyessentialshop.com. But again, it's so much easier to give me a call at 720-630-3111. And we'll talk about natural medicine, setting up your own home medicine cabinet. I've got lots of foundational products. And setting up your own home food store for when times get tough, which we know are coming.
No, they are definitely. They're not coming. They're here, and they're going to get worse. So, Katie, thanks so much for that information this evening. We're going to move on in this segment. We're going to be joined, as I mentioned, by my Red List News broadcaster, Jim White. We're going to hit a lot of the issues of the day, and we're also going to talk about, again, a little bit about why you should want to listen to this segment. I'm thinking about bringing segments aboard here in the Common Sense Show. We're working on that. And we've already got an impressive lineup of people who visit us from time to time. Jim has already conducted some outstanding interviews at Red List News. He'll talk about that as well. So join me in welcoming my friend and broadcast partner, Jim. Jim?
Dave, how are you, sir? Thanks for having me here
on
the podcast.
I got to tell you, I said this to Katie during the break. This probably been the quickest hour and a half of radio I've done. Katie crucified Monsanto, or should I say Monsatan, and Mike Adams, I blinked and that hour was over. It was incredible, and I know this isn't going to be any different, but let's talk about our venture real quick here, and again, in your estimation, what do you think motivated you and I to do this thing called Red List News?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I did hear the interview with Mike. Excellent interview as usual. Of course, you know, Mike is, top notch in my book, and I know yours too,
best.
It comes to his information and his website and, you know, his integrity. He's a man of integrity, which is, it's rare to find these days, Dave, as you well know.
Yes.
We always enjoy talking with Mike, and, I know I heard you mention we do that Health Revolt. We do tape it on Friday, and then we try to broadcast it or publish it on Sunday. And you will be, as time permits and your schedule permits, on with us on the Health Revolt broadcast as well. That's more of a long form. And I've done some interviews with Rob Dew. You talked about that. I did an interview with Rob Dew. We did a roundtable with Mike, actually, Mike Adams and Dane Wigington, who knew was going to be a guest on your show, and Paul Preston. I'm just trying to expand the Red List News out a little bit into more of a long form, but our core that you talked about, the core program that we do, the Red List News, the 5-day a week program. We talked back and forth. I think originally you were on the Liberty Brothers radio show. We had John as a guest. We had John, I think, two or three times. And the way this all evolved, really, that's what I'm getting into. And you and I began talking, and we hit it off real well, and we began talking, outside the radio broadcast. And I think we decided, you were talking about doing something else, and I was as well. And I think we decided that something quick hitting. There's a lot of interview shows, yours, and at that time the Liberty Brothers, where we were a couple hours a day. And that's all good if you have the kind of time to be able to listen to, you know, 2 or 3 hours. I mean, Hagman did great work, but it's difficult for anybody really to listen to 3 hours of the radio. So I think we decided that something shorter, quick, you know, to the point, get in, get out. Don't do a whole lot of commentary. No interviews, you know, on that format. We don't do any interviews. You know, 3 stories a piece with a going deep. And I think it's worked out real well. I've got a lot of positive feedback, Dave, that people are telling me that that's what the thing they enjoy the most about the broadcast is that it's sort of pithy. You know, it's 12, 15 minutes. We just hit the highlights and comments like, you know, I can get a full day's worth of news and really get the important stuff in 15 minutes, you know, and I really appreciate you guys doing that. There's a niche out there that needs to be filled. And you know, Dave, I don't think we really even, if I can recollect, I don't think we really sat around and said, hey, there's a niche out there that needs to be filled. I think we just sort of wanted to do it to give people an opportunity to get news in a quick manner. But, you know, really was, after the fact, you know, we're finding out there really was a niche out there that needed to be filled with that. And, you know, it's got a lot of good feedback, and, you know, I'm just happy to be doing it.
Well, and I got to tell a quick story here. And occasionally just things happen, and coincidental things. That, you know, we've had things happen, like we had a washer repairman out here one day, and my wife signed the ticket, and he said, your husband wouldn't be Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. And occasionally when we do this work, we get that kind of recognition. Well, the other day I was in a store, and a guy was talking to somebody else, and he says, yeah, he says, I listen to Red List News all the time. And he was really praising it. And I walked over and I introduced myself. I said, I couldn't help but notice what you were saying. And I thought I was going to give him a heart attack. He's talking about our show, and I'm in the same store with him. So it is catching on, and we do think we're filling a necessary market. But, Jim, let's get into a couple other issues now, you know, in terms of why I wanted you to come on in addition to talking about Red List News. And it's this. If you were to, with all the news stories we've covered, and with all that we cover on our respective shows, what do you think is the 800-pound gorilla in the room?
Oh boy, you know, it's really. Let's put it this way: there's a main issue, and it's the complete transformation of society. Okay, that seems to be like the overarching plan. Now, within that complete transformation of society, there are multiple problematic areas that I could go into and discuss. Of course, the constant push for our guns, which you know, I'm not one. You know, I'm of course a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. I have handguns and long guns, and believe in hunting, and people should have the right to defend themselves. No doubt about it. So, but I'm not a gun nut, so to speak. But there's no doubt about it that, you know, the attempt to capture our guns is very, very alarming. Another thing that's very alarming to me is the invasion of our bodies, as far as our bodies not belonging to us any longer. Mandatory vaccinations, I think, are just, you know, on the cusp of having mandatory vaccinations. I think I heard you guys mention something about being pulled over or checkpoints, you know, Viper teams. Of course, we know that's already, there's already Viper teams out there. This is not fantasy, not hyperbole. So I think the invasion of our personal self is alarming. You know, you see the rise, Dave, of militant groups inside our borders. And, you know, I think they're amassing together in certain geographical areas, and I do think they will have at some point a coordinated strike or uprising or whatever you want to call it. Now, I think it'll be struck down as long as people can maintain their firearms. But, you know, there's such a wide variety of things, Dave, and these are all, I believe, the main, you know, under the main umbrella of fundamentally transforming everybody and conditioning us, or at least getting us, you know, the Hegelian dialectic, as you well know, the problem reaction solution, you know, getting us into a point where we need them and we're crying for them to come and assist us. So, I mean, we're, you know, this, not, you know, I haven't even touched on it economically. I know your guest next hour is an economic expert, and we haven't even touched on the economic, you know, part of the malaise that we find ourselves in with, what, $19 trillion almost in debt? And that's just what they're reporting, and that's not counting the derivatives, which are in the perhaps quadrillions, that's right, quadrillions of dollars. So, yeah, we're in a lot of trouble in this country, Dave. I mean, I'm not trying to sound like an alarmist, but, I mean, yeah, sure, everything, you wake up in the morning, the sun comes up, you start your car, and you drive to the store, and you can get groceries, and electricity works, and the water runs, and the shower goes off and on, and there's shampoo there, and, you know, that's, everything appears to be normal, and for the most part, generally speaking, on the surface, it is. But that is just a facade, I submit to you. Underneath, yeah, where everything really happens, we're in some trouble, man, and we have to pay attention.
Well, we do, and as I said earlier, my friend Ernie Hancock said we're up against a philosophy, not a series of events. I had a guy email me last week, and I'm not usually this contentious with readers and listeners, but this guy really irritated me. He wrote to me and said, "Why do you constantly fearmonger?" And I wrote back to him and I said, $19 trillion in debt and growing. That's all I said. He wrote back and he said, "It's conspiracy theory stuff." And I wrote back and said, "1.5 quadrillion derivatives debt with a $505 trillion annual interest rate on the derivatives, and the entire GDP of the planet is $70 trillion. And he wrote back and said, "I see your point." And there's a moral to this story, where the mainstream media wears us down with lies through repetition to change our mental framework. In fact, I reported this on Red List News, that Obama's hired an army of psychologists in an executive order. I mean, read it yourself at whitehouse.gov. And he's going to propagandize everything he does to get people to accept it. And what we need to be doing in our side of the world, in the independent media, is the same kind of repetition. The only thing is our repetition is not based on BS, it's based on truth, as we understand it. Not that we don't make mistakes, Jim, we do. But we're willing to own up and say, hey, okay, we've misread that situation, and we have nothing to hide, because we're here to expose the truth. But we need to get our listeners and our readers, and again, back to what we were talking about in the segment with Katie and with Mike Adams, people need to get busy and start convincing your neighbors. Like I said, you don't need a radio show to do this. You just need some determination, command of the facts, at least a few of the facts, and start turning the tables of propaganda. And for God's sake, turn your darn TV off.
You know, Dave, the way I would react to some of those people are, where's the conspiracy in the fact that fluoride is known to be harmful, yet they admittedly dump it into our water system? Where's the conspiracy in the fact that mercury and other adjuvants and aluminums are poisonous, yet they still put them in the vaccinations that they hype so vociferously at this time of the year? Where is the conspiracy in the GMO food that admittedly, after independent laboratory tests, you see rats blowing up with giant tumors after two or three generations of eating this stuff, and this is the stuff that they're feeding us on a regular basis? Where's the conspiracy in large food companies like McDonald's putting really frankenfoods together and serving that really as food products that have been exposed by your last guest, Mike Adams? You know, and we haven't even gotten into any of these false flag operations that have really, the lid's been blown off many of them. You know, that's what I say to these people, Dave, is these are not conspiracy theories. These are conspiracy facts. And you know, if you want to continue to live in that world of cognitive dissonance, there's not much hope for you. I mean, you have to break out of that paradigm and realize that those who want you to be subject to them control 96% of all of the information that you receive. And if you don't think that these people are going to manipulate said information to bring you under their control, which is their goal, you're out of your mind. It just makes logical sense that they would. I would, if I was in their position. So that's why I don't understand, Dave, why people can't just, if you just step back and take your labels off everything, you're Republican, you're Democrat, all that, if you just take all those off, strip all those away, and just use good old-fashioned common sense, you can really see that, you know, these things are real. Now, is every single conspiracy real? Of course not. If everything's a conspiracy, nothing's a conspiracy. But certainly those things I mentioned in the beginning, they're irrefutable.
You know, the world's filled with dichotomies. There are people that just want to be left alone. That would be people like you and me, Jim. That's probably why you live in Montana, why I live in rural Arizona.
Indeed,
you know,
indeed.
We just want to be left alone. And then there's a dichotomous group that just won't leave us alone. I mean, I wasn't even out here a year until McCain and his merry band of thieves, the bankers behind CAFTA, were trying to steal my property and that of my neighbors without any compensation. And then there's a second dichotomy, and more to the point of what you just were talking about, there's conspiracy theorists and there's coincidence theorists, and that's kind of how the world's divided. I mean, either you see everything as a grand coincidence as promoted by CNN and Fox, or you see it for what it is, that there are very few accidents. Most things happen by design. We don't live in a world of accidental history. And so then we have that. In fact, Jim Marsh used to say this too. His favorite comeback when people call him conspiracy theorist, he'd fire back with, well, you're a coincidence theorist. And I think this is really how the world is divided. And we need to do what Goebbels said to do, was tell a big enough lie often enough they'll believe it, but we'll just substitute the word truth. We'll tell the truth often enough and get people to believe it, which is why we do our venture with Red List News, The Common Sense Show, Northwest Liberty News, and on and on. Jim, we got a big mission. We're being outnumbered.
We are, David. Let me make a quick comment on that, and just two examples. First of all, look at Brian Williams, the golden boy of NBC Nightly News. It's obvious that he is he was caught in a lie, and this is well known, and he was suspended. That whole thing is a fraud. That whole mainstream media is a fraud, and I submit that is more or less the rule as opposed to the exception. And then you have one of the largest car companies in the world, Volkswagen, completely fraudulently with the emissions thing, completely fraud. They're going to get billions and billions and billions of dollars in fines for running a scam on the whole emissions thing. I don't believe it's worldwide, at least certainly through the United States. I mean, this is a giant corporation, Dave, one of the biggest, and they're involved in just outright fraud, and they're fraud. They're just playing the game on everybody. So no, we live in a world of fraud, Dave. It's really sad, but it's true, and that's why, you know, people have to be very discerning. And I hate to sound like we're plugging Red List News, but whether it be, you know, myself, Red List News, you and Red List News, Steve Quayle. You know, there's many fine outlets out there that you can get your information from. But, you know, like you said, turn off the TV. Don't buy into the mainstream at all. Anything they say, it's probably, Dave, I would say, what do you think, 90% lies? I mean, they do sprinkle some truth in there occasionally, but there's really, if you want to get real truth, you know, the cable stations are not the place to go.
Yeah, it's amazing. They fired Brian Williams for what he did. But CNN can alter the photo of the Oregon shooter and misidentify his race so they can keep promoting race wars, and no one blinks an eye. It's amazing. Let me ask you a question, Jim, and Katie, you can come in on this too. I want both of your opinions on this. We're a nation of 315 million people, you know, roughly, what, 230 or 220 million are adults. What do you think our penetration is with the independent media? How many people do you think are listening, reading on, let's say, at least a weekly basis? Any guesses?
Katie, want to take that? I can go, Dave. I think, Dave, in the tens of millions. No, I don't say tens of millions of people listen to Red List News or you're speaking collectively, of course, right? You mean for all alternative media?
Steve Quayle, Alex Jones, Dave Hodges, John B. Wells, Doug Hagman. You know, right on down the list, all our friends. What do you think our reach is, our aggregate total reach?
Well, you know, if you include guys like Max Kaiser, it's 400, 500 million worldwide. Alex Jones, I had Rob Dew on, I interviewed him, and, you know, we had discussed that they're sending their satellite signal out now. Alex Jones is sending it out all over North America with the ability of 400 million people to capture the signal. Now, that doesn't mean 400 million people are. I'm sure a very small percentage of that. But I think we're in the, I think, believe it or not, Dave, I think we're in the tens of millions. I think we're, there's a lot more, than you think. Now, I have a lot of friends here because I'm in Oath Keeper territory up here in Northwest Montana. I have a lot of friends with the Oath Keepers. I've done a lot of work with the Oath Keepers. I know Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers, a personal friend of mine. There's a lot of military assets or former military assets up here in the Flathead Valley. And I'm here to tell you that probably close to 80% of the current serving military are awake and know what's going on. So, there's an awful lot, Dave. I don't think they expose themselves nearly as much as fellows like you and I do. But I think there's an undercurrent. I think there's a silent, it's a minority still, but there's a lot of people I think that know what's going on. They just don't have what it takes to speak up just yet.
That's the key. Listening versus doing. If you were to ask me, and I've actually tried to put some kind of statistical analysis on this, but the data sets are really incomplete with all the elements I would need. But just gross facts, figures as I understand them from the various shows and websites, I think somewhere between 10 to 20 million people touch us each week in some fashion. That's my guess. Now, some people have told me that's too high. It's closer to 6 to 8 million. Maybe. Raw numbers. But here's what we don't know. See, I don't even know where my show goes. And here's what I mean. We can get a track on our satellite feed, but we have radio stations that pick up our live feed, and I find out about it 6 months down the road. We have people who will rebroadcast us. We have people who will take the MP3 file that I'll post on our website at thecommonsenseshow.com and redistribute, and of course before it's news, you know, publishes the links to our show as well. How do you measure that? It's really difficult to get a handle, but I think we can count on, we probably reach 8 to 9% of the adults. And Jim, let me tell you why I say it's under 10. There's social psychology research out there from SNARC, Social Research Group, that says for a movement to catch fire and consume the country, you have to have 10% of the people who are committed to the movement. Now, maybe more than 10% cross our paths, but people who are really kind of what I'd call hardcore into this, want to know what's coming, want to know how to avoid what's coming, I think we're under 10%. Because if we were over 10%, that SNARC principle would kick in and we'd start to see major unrest across this country.
Well, you know something, David, here's what would confuse me about that, and I'm not disagreeing with you. But, you know, if you look at the militant homosexual agenda that is now sweeping the country and the transgender and whatever you want to call it, if you look back about 40 years ago, there were probably under 2% of the population that really was even on board with any of that stuff. But they were a very, very motivated 2%. And you look what's happened, of course, with help from the media, with lies and you know, cooperation from a wide variety of different groups, some corporate, you've seen where the smaller than 2% of the population has now basically taken over you know, a lot of the school systems, a lot of the court systems, a lot of, you know, look, you know, Dave, you see how that the rise of this whole movement is sweeping across the country.
All too well.
All too well. Now, they started out almost, I mean, almost not even enough people even to be considered significant. And look what they've done over 30, 40 years now. So, you know, does it take 10%? I mean, I don't know. I think it just takes however many percentage of the people are involved. They just need to, I think, be motivated and competent and, you know, have a plan. And I think you can do a lot with a little, but I don't know about those percentages, the things you just suggested, that you mentioned. I'm not aware of that exact study or the research. But I would say it doesn't take a full 10%. That's just from off the cuff.
I would hang my hat on that for most movements. And I don't think the figure is necessarily meant to be exact, but I think the principle is there because the group that did this, they studied past trends, and they said when they cross that 10% threshold, that's when major things really start happening. That's how clothing fashions take hold. I mean, it was across the board, not just in terms of propaganda and people's belief systems or political movements. It was in the marketing realm. It was in the anything realm. And I remember when urban legends were big, and certainly that crossed the 10% for a while until they were just totally debunked. So I think, Jim, I do think there's some magic to that number. And that's what I keep saying. We need 10% of the country. I mean, how much did we win the revolution with? Well, about a third were sympathetic to America, the colonies. About a 3% really did the work. And everybody else kind of in various extremes. Well, I'll support you once in a while when it's convenient. Oh, yeah, I'm kind of committed to you. To know, I just want to be left alone. But we moved major mountains then. And I think that, Jim, when we look at what needs to happen to turn some of this back, is we need the marching feet of numbers. It's what the gay community discovered. The marching feet of numbers turned back what they felt was oppression.
Well, you know, that's how you get numbers, Dave, is, you know, you don't get them giant blocks at a time. You know, we're not going to convince 1,000, 10,000 people per night, per evening. I don't care how many that, you know, we reach. We really are going after one person at a time. And I say going after, I mean that in the best sense. We're going after them to bring them the truth. And, you know, a case can be made, well, what makes you think that your truth is the truth? You know, I would leave that up to the listener to decide. You know, here's the way I look at it. You've been bombarded with mainstream media propaganda your entire life. So, you know how that operates. Why not take a step on the other side and see how alternative media operates? And probably a lot of people listening to this show already do visit alternative media. But as you said, Dave, you know, this show could be broadcast out and you don't know how many people could be listening to it for the first time. So I encourage you to go to sites like the Common Sense Show, Red List News, InfoWars, Mike Adams, Natural News, great website. And Mike has really turned his website from sort of a health-based website into he covers, you know, just a wide variety of topics and areas there. I mean, that's a great site. And his alternative news, and you mentioned Good Gopher, I know. And, you know, it's really good, Dave, to see, you know, we may be under 10, okay? We may be under 10. To wrap up this thing you just asked me, we may be under 10, but I think we're quickly approaching 10, you know, and going to surpass it soon because really alternative news and, you know, the impact that it's having and truth, I think people just desire truth. And I think that's going to win the day. Now, I don't know how much damage we're going to take as a nation and even personal damage like guys like you and I may take before it's all over. But I think truth will ultimately win the day.
Truth will out. Well, I've asked Jim to stay over to help facilitate the interview with economist Joseph Meyer. Just how bad will things get? Well, Jim and I will help you explore that when we come back after our top of the hour break.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.